the toilets choked with excreta, the basement a cesspool of ashes, ordure, and ration cans. Looking the place over, Corporal Tom McCreary expressed the general sentiment of his squad, "We got it made." This was the first time anyone in the squad had lived indoors on the firing line. The men set out to improve their quarters. They rearranged the cellar, putting the bunks and sea rations in one room, throwing the trash in another. They found some gas-burning lamps and a working stove. They spliced into a German field telephone system and established communications with the 1st Platoon CP. When they needed to relieve themselves, they went to the third floor, where the toilet bowl was only half full. George Lutz, radio man for the 1st Platoon CP, paid a visit. McCreary's squad showed off their accommodations with pride. "If you think this is good," Lutz responded, "you should see Company HQ. They're living like kings." He looked around again and added, "Them bastards." Webster shared Lutz's feelings. He went back to the company CP as seldom as possible because there was altogether too much rank in that place and a private didn't stand a chance. As on the island, movement by day was impossible. Snipers were always ready to blast anyone caught in the open. The least movement would bring down mortars. Two or three men outside would justify a couple of rounds of 88s. So, Webster recorded, our major recreation was eating. We spent more time preparing, cooking, and consuming food than in any other pursuit. The company's task was to hold the line, send out enough patrols to keep contact with the Germans, and serve as forward artillery observers. McCreary's squad held observation post number 2. Two men, one at the third floor window, the other in the basement with a telephone, were on duty for an hour at a time. From the window, the men had a beautiful view of the German section of town. They could call for artillery fire just about whenever they wanted, a luxury previously unknown. The Germans would reply in kind. It was hard to say which was more dangerous, mortars, aimed sniper fire, machine gun bursts, 88s, or that big railway gun. One thing about the monster cannon, although it was so far to the rear, the men could not hear it fire. They could hear the low-velocity shell coming from a long way off. It sounded like a train. Shifty Powers recalled that he was an observer on the third-floor window. When he heard the shell, he had time to dash downstairs into the basement before it landed. Although the men lived in constant danger, a direct hit from the railway gun would destroy whole buildings, they were, in a sense, spectators of war.